worthy.
Praise you. Bring an offering, a sacrifice of praise to you, Lord God. With our words, our lips, Lord God, from our heart, we sing praises to you, for you're worthy, Lord Jesus. And Father, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our teacher. Lord, we ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to blow upon us and to reveal your love today, to strengthen and bring an impartation to everyone here who's made the decision to be here today. Father, may they know it's a good choice, a good decision, hallelujah, for the anointing shall flow and touch every heart. I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. I feel very strongly about the word I want to share today. In fact, I think I always do, but verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, I'll go on in covering these next five verses as well, but I'll stop here as a text. I want to mention the context of this letter. In chapter 1, Paul was commending the Thessalonian church. And he says how in verse 3, your faith grows exceedingly, and you abound in love towards one another. Now, when I was sharing from the Ephesian epistle, he said that about them. Then he went on to pray for certain deeper revelation because they were in that beginning place of just faith and love. Now, if you're not moving towards the Lord in faith and towards those around you in love, you're not in a place to get anything deeper revelation or greater impartation in your life. That's a starting point. Now, that could seem like, wow, that's a great accomplishment. Well, by the grace of God, yeah, but it's just a base foundation for him being able to really take us on. And he goes on to say at verse 11, he's praying for them that they would walk, it's chapter 1 now, walk worthy of this calling and fulfill the goodness of God, what would be well-pleasing to God, his goodness, his work of faith with power. And so he's commending, he's praying that Christ be glorified in them and through them. So that's his prayer there as he affirms the fact that they've been strong through a great deal of persecution. And so he begins with that commendation. Then he goes in chapter 2, which the first 10 verses in particular speak a lot about the end times. And one cannot neglect those verses if one's going to address the end times. And we see there the mention of the release of the Antichrist spirit. It's after the church is taken up and out of the way, because we are the hindrance to the enemy. If the church is inactive and quiet, well, the enemy can have free reign. But as long as we're proclaiming truth and being an exhibition of the love of Christ, the glory of God, Satan is hindered. So we are that hindrance. So ever have someone tell you you're a hindrance? You're a problem. Well, you're a problem. I'm a problem for the devil. We don't want to be a problem to each other, but we want to be a problem for the devil. And he goes on through that, but now he comes on here at the end of chapter 2 and shows forth his prayer for them. Now, again, Scripture needs to be interpreted in context. It's one of the laws of interpretation. There are various ones, but the context. So he's addressing the persecuted church and commending them. And then he says, You think it's bad now? There's more to come. However, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And Jesus dealt with his disciples like that, that they would be persecuted. But he told Peter, I'm praying for you, that your faith doesn't fail when the attack comes. Know this, attacks will come. Think it not strange, it says in Peter, when a fiery trial comes. If you think, oh, what's going on? This is strange, it's weird, it shouldn't be. Well, read the Bible. Reality is, Satan's going to come to steal the word. In whatever degree you've received it and are putting it out, all the more so. It's not to fear. The greater one lives in us. We have the power of God within us by the resurrection. We can overcome. He says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but through him who loved us. Well, we proceed on here and we see he's praying for them again. That's where we're picking up here. Chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord himself, our Father, and our Father has loved us. So that's the beginning point here. The beginning point for more is knowing he's already loved you. You know, you have to have that first. And he's given us an everlasting consolation. Now, when something consoles you, it brings peace to you where your heart would say, oh, here's something threatening, here's something dangerous, something hurtful. When you're consoled, there's peace in the sense of it'll be all right. Yeah, I think even the world, there was worldly music. It's going to be all right, going to be all right. Now, I don't believe in just saying that. Because you can say that, but based on what? If it's not based on anything, they are meaningless words which will cause disillusionment and disappointment. But the Word of God shows us that God is the God of peace who has loved us. He's a God of victory for us. We can have consolation knowing in him we win. That's consolation. And good hope, or a benevolent hope, a hope that gives. It's not just a hope, Lord, get me out of here, but the hope of God gives. Why? Because he has loved us. You can't, there's a lot of things you can study independently, but you can't separate. You could study your heart and how that works, but you can't remove it. You can study your liver, but you can't remove it. They all work together. Your organs work together. And if one's broken, it's going to affect the other. So we can topically study things, but they all work together. That's why it says faith works by love. Well, so does hope. We have everlasting hope because of the love of God. Again, that's the starting point. That's where the erasure of fear is going to come from. So, if God be for me, what does it matter what comes against me? You know, sometimes in past years, you know, there's certain bad doctrines recycle every so 20 years. And there's one that exalts the work of the devil. Oh my, you know, If an owl flies in front of you, there's devil's going to do bad. Not for me, they're not. My God's greater than that owl, greater than an omen or whatever you want to call it. And the greater one living in you is that he is greater than what all else. So I don't care. I really don't care if there's 10,000 demons out in the lawn screaming and yelling. The greater one lives in me. So as I go out on the lawn, they have to make way. Get out of my way, devil. Make way. Because this is my space now. I mean, if I'm not walking in that space, they can be there. They're free to roam the earth. There's a wrong thing that was taught, like you can cast the devil out of the earth. That's wrong. He's allowed to be here until Jesus comes back and puts him in the pit. You're not putting him in the pit. The Lord is at his return, us with him. But what we can do is render him powerless and expose his lies. We can do that by the authority of Jesus Christ in us and the power of God. So we don't have to fear if there's a devil on the doorknob, to use like an expression. If you were around back in those days, oh my, you know, there's a devil on every doorknob. I don't really care. When you know the greater one, it doesn't matter. Because you know him, he's greater than them. I could liken it this way. You know, back in the development of the Cold War, and we developed all these nukes, and we're still developing all these weapon systems that just completely blow the mind if you get access. And they don't reveal the new stuff. I like to watch military history, and I'll talk about certain weapons. And I know that's like 15-year-old stuff. That's not the new stuff. And my son Jesse was in like highly classified stuff. He said, Dad, you wouldn't believe what we have. You couldn't believe if I told you. Don't ask me questions. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. And I don't know if he was serious or joking. I like to believe he was joking, but I didn't ask any questions. But that's hate humor there. But anyway, if somebody's coming at you with throwing bricks and you got nukes, you really don't have to worry that much. We got missiles that can hit them in the back of the head from 20 miles away. We don't really have to worry about that much. It's just a matter of, am I going to take them out or not? That's the only question. Will I let them live? And I'm talking about a military level now. Do we take them out or we let them live? Because the greater one's there. But, I shared before, like growing up, the cloud over our head, my generation, was a nuclear war with Russia. That was the cloud. Well, now it's more like terrorist stuff. That changed. But, we still would be smart not to pick a fight with somebody else that has nukes. Okay? That's just being smart, So, bullies will pick a fight and try to intimidate. And wise people don't show their power and their strength unless a fight comes to them. Little Selah thing there. But anyway, we have good hope by our good works. No, by grace. We have a hope that continues to give. Did you ever hear the gift that keeps on giving? People will say that disparaging, like a certain politician always has their foot in her mouth, says dumb stuff. That's the gift that keeps on giving. Well, the real gift that keeps on giving is Jesus. Only he's not putting us down or hurting us. He keeps proposing and bringing forth good things. Good things. We have a good hope. Now, if you don't have hope, you will be discouraged, depressed, disappointed. You will withdraw. But when you have hope, that's what you're moving toward. And we need to always be moving toward him, drawn like magnetic force. Now, magnets, if you turn the poles a certain way, now is that like plus to negative? It'll draw them. And if you turn it opposite, it'll repel. Did you ever try that little experiment? Probably done that in third grade. Where you try to push two magnets together, they're opposing, you push away. That's how some people are with the Spirit of God. They're magnetically opposed because they're resisting. But you turn it, you even get close, it just bing, draw you right in. So strong magnetic force will draw all metals to it. So think of it that way. We're being drawn to him. As comfort, now this is part of his prayer, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The word comfort is a parakalesis, and the word comforter, Holy Spirit's parakaleo. The word is a combination of two Greek words. The first, para, means near, And klesis means to call. Parakaleo, Holy Spirit, is to that he's come alongside of you. He's called you near, or like the magnetic force, you begin to get close. You hear his call and get close. He'll just attach right to you. That's what it means to bind or tie together. A little side thought. There's another wrong teaching out there. We need to bind ourselves to God and loose or destroy the works of the devil. Well, how do you do that? Well, one, by forgiving people. All he was working towards get washed away. Like sandcastles, the tide coming in. When you speak the word to something in faith, releasing the power of God, we destroy the works of the devil. And I have to chuckle. Now, it's very frustrating if you were to go to the beach, build a sandcastle, and you do that with your children. Well, you have to get close enough to have wet sand. That sand's wet because the tide comes in there. And they build that thing and they're working real hard. And you're sitting there smiling. Now when you come back tomorrow, it's going to be gone. And we'll see how they react. So they come back. Daddy, Daddy, my castle's gone. The tide just swept it away. And it frustrates people to build something and it be wiped away. Think how frustrated the devil is. He did works to destroy your life. And you receive Jesus and forgiveness. And you begin to speak the word relative to what was working in your flesh. And it's all washed away. We were singing about washed in the blood. Washed away. Sandcastles. Now, God wants us to build our house on a rock or revelation knowledge of his word that will withstand the tides of this world. It will withstand that. Now, in places in the country where there's hurricanes and that, they've gotten smart where they'll build homes to certain specs that can withstand a heavy wind load and flooding and rains and all the rest. If they don't do that, their homes will be washed away. A few years ago, there was a hurricane that came up like around the west side of Florida and came up and wiped out a whole town or small city there. I forget the name of it now. But there was this guy, as a Christian man, who was building a home, and he prepared for this kind of hurricane. And there's pictures, and he was trusting the Lord with it, of everything destroyed all around him. And there stood his house. He built on a rock. He had concrete and rebar and all the rest. And our spiritual house needs to be built in such a way, no matter what storm comes, I maybe say, well, it's not too often a hurricane hits where I'm at. But what if it does? That's like saying, well, it's not too often a devil might attack me because I'm just a common, ordinary Joe. What if you're in the line of fire? We need the house that will withstand everything that comes against it. Now, that starts with you personally. And you build as a family and as a church, and hopefully we can touch a community around us. Everything around you can be destroyed, but you can stand. Now, I want to just kind of repeat that thought that when you hear things collapsing, you're not afraid your house is going to fall. If you build your house financially on the Word of God and obeying Him and the tithe and giving, as well as use wisdom, not to spend everything you have on unnecessary things, then people, there can be economic hardship, and you can hear about this, like, well, it's going to wipe out, you know, the wealth of the nation. You can be the one standing, because God's word's true. whether everything is wiped out around you or not, you can have a confidence, an everlasting consolation, and good hope, because He loved you, and you are believing His word to stand. Now, the storms that hit a place hit everybody, but you can build in a way that your house stands. Now, this mostly needs to be applied to spiritual, and I shared with you, 2 months ago, the Holy Spirit was showing me that there's storm clouds around. There's a storm, and I'm not talking about natural, but a storm in spirit about to be unleashed, and it has been in process. You know, all that rioting and all that stuff, that kind of stuff is just starting. You know, you think of people being moved to want to see the death of Israel and of all Jews. That's dangerous. Advocating for death. It doesn't get much more evil than that. Advocating for death. Well, we can still stand, and God wants us to still be a light. But if your eyes are on yourself, you'll say, I need to retreat. I need to get away. I need to find some safe little hole I can crawl into. And you end up in this me place, which is not where the river of God is. He's flowing out of a place of love. So to be strong in faith and power, we need to have faith in God plus love towards one another, and have a heart to want to see people delivered out who don't even know Him, who are ignorant. They don't even know what's going on. But I guarantee you, fear will get on them fast, you know, as they hear things. Faith comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing. If people aren't hearing the word, they're going to hear of the evil and receive that and be moved by that. Well, may the Holy Spirit comfort your hearts, or come alongside of you like a magnet, drawing you to Him, calling you to Him. Now, if you resist and turn the magnetic force opposite, you don't get any of that. But He's calling us, come to Me, as a magnet is drawing something. And the closer you get to that magnetic force, it's like, boom, and you're attached. That's the place we want to be. Attached magnetically to the Spirit of God. Comfort your hearts. I wrote a song 25 years ago or 30 years ago. I hear you calling. I hear you calling. I hear you calling me. That's the only part of it I even remember. But He's calling us to come to Him, fellowship with Him every day. But are we hearing Him? The Holy Spirit's the one who brings the manifestation of comfort. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the natural, if you have an infant child, a noise that startles them, they start to cry. Or something, they perceive something negative. I know with ours, we're babies. There's so much peace in our home that if someone came to our house and wanted counsel, and they had the enemy influencing their mind, and it would come out when they begin to talk about it, and they want prayer, our babies would cry because they discerned evil was present. They discerned it as an infant. So you don't have to be any spiritual guru. And if an infant can discern evil's presence, now that only is going to happen if the presence they are living in is peace. And we were committed to that. Peace in the home. Love being shown at all times. Peace in the home. You can walk in a place and sense that or not sense it. I remember a few years back, Pastor Vitali from Odessa was here to visit one time. And he walked in, I call it the prayer room, it's my office, but the main thing happening there is prayer. He said, whoa, presence of God's in this place. And yeah, I was just so used to going in. That was like normal for me. That was a normal environment. But for him, it's just like slap him in the face. The presence of God's here. Oh, praise God. I'm glad that, you know, that was strong for him. Because when you're always around something, you can get used to it. I like getting used to the presence of God and peace. I like that. I don't want to ever get used to strife and evil and accept it as normal. That's not normal in the kingdom of God. That's the irregularity. Normal should be peace. And we want to learn to walk in that and abide in his presence, that's normal. Now, sometimes people need to make a new normal. There was a Christian comedian, she had a thing, she said, normal is just a setting on your washing machine. Is my saying that right? On the dryer. And she had a whole comic routine on it. Normal is, what's normal? Well, normal is what you accept to be normal. On purpose, you know, when we first started, peace will rule our heart and mind. Peace will rule our home. And if you're not walking in love, you're not going to have peace. And it's not by being sitting in a place where there's nothing to agitate you. You need peace to go out into the world where there's agitation all around you. That doesn't really move you. What's it take to jerk your chain? Move you. So then you know how much is working there. Well, the Holy Ghost comforts your heart and establish you. Establish you in something, every good word and work. We need established. The more it's coming against you or the more it's around you, we need to be all the more established in every good word and in the work. If you're not established in the Word of God, or the word established is to set, or as it says, Jesus steadfastly set. He steadfastly went to Jerusalem. His heart was set. Nothing was going to move him from what he had to do before him. There was a work before him. His heart was set, knowing what the Father's will was and knowing what the work was before him. So nothing could move him. He was unmovable, unshakable, abounding in the work of the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, 58. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So verse 57, that we may be abounding, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. So the question would be, what's it take to get you to stop? Satan will test you to find that out. It's very important we are unmovable, unshakable concerning the Word of God and knowing I have the victory in Jesus Christ. It's not something I'm trying to get. I have it in him already because of that death and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father, where he took his place as our great high priest, which gives us access to the throne, and we can then live by faith. I have the victory.